My name's John Elliott, and this is a podcast from the Insights in Jazz series, www.dropback.co.uk.
Welcome to Broadway and the Mystery of Bartok Substitution. This week's podcast is about the standard Broadway, written in 1940, and I'm going to touch on a couple of other aspects of the method, including Bartok substitution and explaining what that's all about. Very useful thing. And also side-slipping, we'll cover in this as well. This song was written in 1940, and there are three names associated with it. Surnames are Bird, McRae, and Wood. That's Wood with an E on the end. And this is Henry Wood, or Henri Wood. It looks French to me, I don't know. And apparently he was a big band arranger, and he was also the co-author of Rosetta, along with Earl Hines. What I suggest you do is print out the roadmap for Broadway from the book. It's song number B27, which is on page 95, so that you can scribble all over it. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to make some simplifications to the roadmap that's in the book, because I think it's over complex. It's based on the changes used from a particular recording that I liked by Monty Alexander, the In Tokyo album. The changes that are most often used are slightly simpler, and maybe you'd like to scribble them down as I talk about them, and catch one or two corrections as we go along the way. So let's analyse the song. It's a classic 32 bar song, 4 8 measure sections. The form is AABA. The A sections are pretty much the same as each other, and the B section is, as usual, a contrasting bridge. So let's look at one of the A sections. It's easiest to look at the last one. So the actual changes for the first half of this are C major 7 for two measures, and then F dominant 7, which is a correction to what I've got in the book there, for measures 3 and 4. And the analysis of this is on at home, a hover, on at home for two measures, and then a hover off at 4 dominant 7. And the second half of the A section is shown in the roadmap as two plain old turnarounds, 1-6-2-5, 1-6-2-5, just to confirm the key and to get us back up to the beginning of the song again. Now, it's worth saying that there are some variations on this. Rather than having the first part in the second half of the A section, sometimes we just see a cadence home approach. So we'd see D minor 7, G7 instead of the part in measures 5 and 6 here, giving us a cadence home, which resolves in the 7th measure into the turnaround at the end of the A section. So that's it, that's the A section completely analysed. The second A section wouldn't have the pot at the end because we're not turning around to start again, we're going to go into the bridge. And because the bridge is a classic bridge that starts with a cadence 2-4, the join that we need to go from the second A section to the bridge is of course a bootstrap. We start on chord 5 minor 7, so it's up a fifth or down a fourth to get to the chord 2 that we need to start the cadence to go to 4. Now, another simplification that I would make here is I would ignore the launcher and the joins that I've got towards the end of the first half of the B section. These are the chords that, again, that Monty Alexander uses, and I'll talk about it later when we talk about side-slipping. But most commonly used, the join from the F major 7 that we've got to, chord 4, to the second half of the bridge is a new horizon, which is really easy to play in any key because all you do is you keep the root the same and you change the quality of the chord from a major 7 to being a minor 7 to start the second cadence. So the first half of the bridge is a cadence to 4, the second half of the bridge is a cadence to flat 3. So it's a new horizon join from 4 to an F minor 7, B flat 7, E flat 7. And then another simplification I want to make here is to simply ignore all the chords that are in brackets, and then the launcher at the end of the bridge, rather than it being D7, G7, we can change the D7 to it's very commonly played as its tritone substitution with an A flat 7, G7, which makes it a nowhere launcher, simply simplifies things greatly here. If we can just think of it as a nowhere launcher, which is, as it turns out, an overrun from the E flat to an A flat 7. Or you can think of it as just jumping to flat 6, 7, A flat 7 in the key of C here. Nowhere launcher back to the final A. So that's the whole song described in a simplified form. One thing that I wanted to mention is that you might remember in the Burney's Tune podcast we had last week, we talked about how the A section of Burney's Tune, even though it's in a minor key, is actually the same meta brick as we see in major key tunes such as Take the A Train, you know, Exactly Like You, Girl from Ipanema, these sort of songs, Watch What Happens, you know, there's loads of those. Well, it turns out if we take the version of the Broadway A section, the version where we don't have a pot to start the second half, but instead we have a cadence approach, that simplification I talked about, then it becomes the same meta brick in effect, because we start on at home, we go off to a chord which in this case is 4-7, and in the other songs we talked about it was either 2-7 or it was flat 6-7, and then it comes back and it does a cadence home. So what's interesting here is that, you know, it's the same meta brick, and the reason it's the same is because of what we call Bartok substitution. The Bartok offs that we're talking about here, 2-7, flat 6-7, 4-7, and the one we haven't mentioned yet, 7-7, are related because they're all a minor third apart, and it turns out that through diminished harmony, we can show that these are all related. So in effect, you could, it doesn't always sound good to substitute them for each other, but they are, you know, because they might clash with a tune, for example, they can be thought of as substitutions of each other. So you could you can experiment. I mean, I wouldn't do this on a gig, but you can experiment at home substituting, you know, that second chord. Instead of playing in Broadway, instead of playing 4-7, you might try playing 2-7 and see what happens. Now, the reason that these are substitutes of each other, I'll try and describe now. Bartok substitution is described on page 38 of my book. It's a notion which was introduced by Conrad Cork in his book, and the idea is that we borrow from diminished scale harmony, where everything repeats at the minor third. So if you take a diminished seventh chord and you move it up in semitones, you'll find that there are only three of them before you hit the chord that you first started with in an inversion. So every time you play something in diminished harmony, there are only three versions that you have to learn on your instrument to cover all possible keys, which is a great thing about it, and that's why I think it's so commonly used in jazz. It cuts down the number of different keys that you have to learn thing in before you can play it in all 12 keys. So if you take a diminished seventh chord, in this case a C diminished seventh chord, and we put different roots underneath it. So, for example, we could put an F underneath. Mm-hmm. and that gives us an F7, but with the extra notes of C and G flat. So it's an F7 flat 9 chord that we have. If we move the root up in minor thirds but keep the diminished chord the same, the next chord we get would be an A flat 7. But again, it's got its third and its dominant seventh, as you'd expect, the characteristic notes of a dominant seventh chord, and the other two notes in the diminished seventh chord that we're keeping constant are its fifth and its flat 9. If we move the root up another minor third from A flat to B, keeping the diminished chord above it constant, we'll find that we've got a B7 flat 9. And if we move it up one last time from B to D, the root's now D, but keeping the diminished chord constant over it, we have a D7 flat 9 chord. So you can see that these chords all have their third and dominant seventh in the diminished chord that we're keeping the same, but they also have their flat 9 and their fifth. But which note represents these functions changes as we move the root. But you can see that they are these four chords are very closely related, and you find it turns out they are interesting chords that we use in the analysis quite a lot. So if we start this Bartok substitution, for example, on chord 4-7, then we find that two of the other ones are 2-7, the somewhere chord, and flat 6-7, the nowhere chord. And there's another one which I didn't name in the method. I haven't done yet anyway, because I haven't found it massively useful, but it's 7-7. And it does occur as an off. Sometimes, for example, in tunes like Meditation, the opening meditation starts with an off to 7-7. And I think this kind of helps to explain what's going on and why this all works. So that was an introduction to Bartok substitution. It's a notion which we'll come back to in later podcasts, because it's used quite a lot inside cadences. But we'll leave it there for now. And the other notion is side slipping, which we've talked about before, and this is where we take 2-5 pairs moving down in semitones. A notion that was mentioned in Conrad's Lego Method book is what's called the multi-sub spot, where the standard suspended pot, which is 3-6-2-5-1, is substituted to get descending 2-5 pairs. So if we look at the final bar of the first A section in the Broadway roadmap, I've actually called this a multi-sub spot, but which is technically wrong, because it should be a multi-sub pot, because we're not starting on E minor 7 here, we're starting resolved home on 1. So if you imagine that the conventional pot would be C major 7, A7, D minor 7, G7, what we do to get the multi-sub version is, first of all, we make the last three chords all dominant, so it'd be C major 7, A7, D7, G7. And then we tritone substitute two of them, so the A7 becomes E flat 7, and the G7 becomes D flat 7. And then we break all of the dominant chords down into their 2-5 pairs. And you get what you see here, C major 7 to start with, B flat minor 7, E flat 7, A minor 7, D 7, A flat minor 7, D flat 7. And these are side-slipping 2-5 pairs. They're descending chromatically, and it's a very common sound that you hear in jazz standards, or substitution of the chords in jazz standards. And these are the chords that Monty Alexander uses at the end of the first A section in his In Tokyo album version of Broadway. But what's interesting it's kind of a feature of this song that you get a side-slipping sound at the end of the bridge, even though it's not a classic side-slip. You've got a nowhere launcher, A flat 7 to G7, that we changed there from what's actually in the roadmap. So that's two dominants which are a semitone apart, and if you were to break them down, then they would be side-slipping 2-5 pairs. So that is a side-slip at the end of the bridge there. And what Monty Alexander does is he introduces a side-slip in the middle of the bridge as well by stuffing in an extra 2-5 pair before the second half of the bridge. So after resolving onto F major 7, he does a launcher, F sharp minor 7, B7, before going to the proper chord for the second half of the bridge, F minor 7. So he goes a semitone up from where he knows he's going to, and then side-slips down. That's all I've got to say about Broadway.
My name is John Elliott. I'm the author of Insights in Jazz, which is available from www.dropback.co.uk. If you've got any questions you'd like to ask about the podcasts or the method in the book, or any suggestions you'd like to make for future podcasts, then please contact me by emailing me at john@dropback.co.uk. If you found this podcast useful and you'd like to leave a tip, then you can visit the website where there's a PayPal donate button. Thanks for listening.